Ezekiel 19. Ezekiel used a lot of illustrations to communicate his word and to get his message across. And I'll, tonight in this first verse here, as he's taking a lament or a care or concern to the princesses of Israel, and say, what a lioness was your mother among the lions. She lay down among the young lions, and she reared her cubs. She brought up one of her cubs, and he became a strong lion. He learned to tear the prey, and he devoured men. The nations heard about him, and he was trapped in their pit. They led him with hooks to the land of Israel. So the lioness here is just symbolizing the land of Judah and that portion of the kingdom there. And those two cubs of the lioness of Judah there was kings that were in place. First cub was representative of King Jehoahaz, and he got taken captive down into Egypt. And then the other was King Jehoiachin, then Jehoahaz and Jehoiachin. And but some people believe that it was perhaps even maybe Zedekiah. And so they were either kings or fixing to be kings. And so they still trying to figure out a way to cut down that 70-year exile, get out of having to go down to Babylonian captivity there. And so as they strive to do this, that Babylonian army got closer and closer, and that enemies were greater and greater. And verse 5, he said, when she saw her hope was unfulfilled, her expectations were gone. She took another of her cubs and made him a strong lion. He prowled among the lions, for he was now a strong lion. He learned to tear the prey, and he devoured men. He broke down their strongholds, devastated their towns. The land and all who were in it were terrified by his roaring. Then the nations came against him, those from regions round about. They spread their net for him, and he was trapped in their pit. With hooks, they pulled him into a cage and brought him to the king of Babylon. They put him in prison, so his roar was heard no longer. And so as we see what is happening here, they can see that because of the strong army of the Babylonians, they made three trips down there. They got everything and all the strong bodies, all the good animals and stuff, took all that back, completely devastated and cleared out the city of Jerusalem and burnt what was left and stuff. So it finally dawned on those Israelites, we're not going to escape this. We can't run, we can't hide, we can't get behind the enemy's lines. They had to finally come to grips with accepting the fact that they were going to be in exile. Look at verse 10. It said, your mother was like a vine in your vineyard, planted by the water. It was fruitful and full of branches because of abundant water. Its branches were strong, fit for a ruler's scepter. It towered high above the thick foliage, conspicuous for its height and for its many branches. But it was uprooted in fury and thrown to the ground. The east wind made it shrivel. It was stripped of its fruit. The strong branches withered, and fire consumed them. Now it is planted in the desert, in a dry and thirsty land. Fire spread from one of its main branches and consumed its fruit. No strong branch is left on it, fit for a ruler's scepter. I don't care the political power, the military power, that Judah's kings thought that they had enough to save these nations, you know. And he said, just like the branches of a vine, that they would be cut off and uprooted by the east wind. The east wind, we learned that last week, was representative of what? That extreme heat of them crossing that desert, making that trip either to Jerusalem or going back with all those folks. And the heat was excessive, and it required much of them and that travel. And so the east wind that they knew that blew and it was hot, kind of like our hot summer afternoons are here and stuff. We have to get inside to get out of that, don't we? You know? But he's representing the east wind here as the Babylonian army that's approaching and coming, and he knows it's going to wipe them out as they are going through trying to get out of going down. If they'd have just went to start with, when the Lord told Ezekiel to tell them, you know, go on down there. What did he tell Jeremiah? Go down there and make the best out of it. Build your houses and live in them. Dig your wells and drink from them. Build your barns and fill from them, you know. Plant your fields and eat from them. You know, if they'd have went on then, that 70 years would have passed away. But not only would it have passed away, but that 70, some of those men that died in that 70-year period down in Babylonian captivity died because of their own stubbornness and their rebellion against what the Lord would have for. In the seventh year, in the fifth month, on the 10th day, some of the elders of Israel came to inquire of the Lord, and they sat down in front of me. Waited till what? Everything's gone. Then here come some of these elders of Israel, sat down in front of me and wanted to inquire of the Lord. Ezekiel, will you talk to the Lord for us? Will you find out? Let's see what he said. Then the word of the Lord came to me, son of man, speak to the elders of Israel and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Have you come to inquire of me? As surely as I live, I will not let you inquire of me, declares the sovereign Lord. God's done cut them off, hasn't he? He did that when he allowed to take over in the exile of all of them. Verse 4 says, will you judge them? Will you judge them, son of man? Then confront them with the detestable practices of their fathers and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. On the day I chose Israel, I swore with uplifted hands to the descendants of the house of Jacob and revealed myself to them in Egypt. With uplifted hands, I said to them, if I can get this page to come on now. that. You thought you was going to beat me, didn't you? He said, I still ain't got it. Another page in there. I am the Lord your God. On that day I swore to them that I would bring them out of Egypt into a land that I had searched out for them, a land flowing with milk and honey, the most beautiful of all lands. And I said to them, each of you, get rid of the vile images you have set your eyes to, and do not defile yourself with the idols of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. He goes all the way back to the promise that he made to Abraham to make him the father of a great nation. They become that great nation, but they've turned their back on the Lord. And he said, I swore to give you this land. And he called it a beautiful place. Of all the land, it was the most beautiful. A land that was flowing with milk and honey. And they traded it in for what? Running, trying to save their hide, hiding down in Egypt, you know. Could they forget what their forefathers went through and how he had to send Moses down there and bring them out of that bondage down there? They'd made bricks, you know. Verse 8 said, but they rebelled against me and would not listen to me. They did not get rid of the vile images they had set their eyes on, nor did they forsake the idols of Egypt. So I said I would pour out my wrath on them and spend my anger against them in Egypt. But for the sake of my name, I did what would keep it from being profaned in the eyes of the nations that lived among and in whose sight I had revealed myself to the Israelites by bringing them out of Egypt. Therefore I led them out of Egypt, brought them into the desert. I gave them my decrees and made known to them my laws. For the man who obeys them will live by them. Also I gave them my Sabbath as a sign between us, so they would know that I, the Lord, made them holy. And he's on a review of what he's done for them and reminding them and the opportunities they had. And first time they came to the Jordan, the Kadesh Barnea there, the entrance into the land of Canaan, that land of, as we talked about previously on Sunday, I think it was, you know, they refused to go over. Why did they refuse to go over? Giants in the land, wasn't it? And so what did they say? You know, the Lord had to lead them back out there because of their disobedience and failure to trust him. They spent 40 miserable years out there in that wilderness experience, didn't they? Second time when they come, where did they come to? The Jordan, across from Jericho, didn't they? And what was on the other side? Jericho. How was it built? It was a fortified, foolproof. You can't get in on us, you know. But when the Lord told them that scenario of how to march around and then shout, and he brought them all down, you know, what should that have said to the Israelites? If God can bring down that fortified city, he can bring down them giants, don't you think? Absolutely. And so they came in. What were some of the statues he told them not to do? Come on now. Don't marry any of them women. When they came into a city, a place, or a town and destroyed it, They were to kill them all. Don't leave anybody. Why did the Lord insist that they not leave anybody? He knew that that woman, if she was a mind to, would lead that man astray, cause him to do those wicked things that serve them gods. First thing you know, they've left the promised land, gotten up on a high hill out there, put up all those different types of gods and stuff, and they included Israel's God. Right next to all the rest of them. And even in one place, you know, in one situation, it might not have been in this one, but it was in the Old Testament, they even made an altar to the unknown gods just in case they missed somebody, you know. And remember that, huh? Yeah, this happens. They're going to make sure of that and what they were doing. And all right, where'd I leave off at? 13. Yet the people of Israel rebelled against me in the desert. They did not follow my decrees, but rejected my laws. Although the man who obeys them will live by them, and they utterly desecrated my Sabbath. You know, of all the things they did, he said they desecrated my Sabbath, you know. Sabbath is something special to the Lord. He said, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy, you know. And so I said, I will pour out my wrath on them and destroy them in the desert. But for the sake of my name, I did what would keep it from being profaned in the eyes of the nation in whose sight I brought them out of. Also, with uplifted hands, I swore to them in the desert that I would not bring them into the land I had given them, a land flowing with milk and honey, most beautiful of all lands, because they rejected my laws and did not follow my decrees and desecrated my Sabbath. There he said it again. It's important to him. For their hearts were devoted to their idols. Yet I looked on them with pity and did not destroy them or put an end to them in the desert. I said to their children in the desert, do not follow the statutes of your fathers or keep their laws or defile yourself with their idols. I am the Lord your God. Follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Keep my Sabbath holy, that they may be a sign between us. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God. You see anything in there that would seemingly be hard to do? He said, just keep my statutes, my Lord. He's talking about the law, the commandments that he's given those in their hearts and their lives. Why do you think they had to be such a rebellious folk? Why are so many folks rebellious today?
We're selfish. Yeah. We're selfish.
Okay.
We want to do what we want to do.
That's right.
We might put God in there somewhere.
That's right.
We're not going to totally ignore it. But
if it's all possible, you know,
yeah,
we'll... But we don't let it hinder us from doing our thing, do we? And that's right. And that's the way he felt about it. You know, he'll explain that to us in a little bit.
You know, that's how they did their idols, was they could go to them when they wanted to, or like her.
That's right.
And God is God. You know, he is not an idol.
He's not going to play second fiddle to nobody, is he? Absolutely. And he said, I wanted them to know that I am the Lord, your God. Verse 21, but the children rebelled against me. They did not follow my decrees. They were not careful to keep my laws although the man who obeys him will live by them. And they desecrated my Sabbaths. So I said I would pour out my wrath on them and spend my anger against them in the desert. But I withheld my hand, and for the sake of my name, I did what would keep it from being profaned in the eyes of the nation in whose sight I had brought them out. Also, with uplifted hands, I swore to them in the desert that I would disperse them among the nations and scatter them through the countries. Because they had not obeyed my law, but had rejected my decrees and desecrated my Sabbath, and their eyes lusted after their father's idols. I also gave them over to statues, that they were not good, and laws that they could not live by. I let them become defiled through their gifts, sacrifices of every firstborn, that I might fill them with horror, so that they would know that I am the Lord. The sacrifice of every firstborn, he's referring to what? The Passover, that's right. When Pharaoh wouldn't let the children go, and he ordered the blood put over the lamppost and doorpost. If they didn't do it, that deaf angel passed by. Pharaoh's own son died. Didn't he? Rebellious, refusing, won't keep his decrees, his laws, won't allow those kinds of things to happen like God would want them to here in their hearts and their lives. And, you know, I don't know how anybody can think that they can get by, you know, the same way, you know. And well, I ain't been to church 10 years, but God knows my heart. He knows I'm going to, you know, da-da-da-da-da. They're fooling themselves, aren't they? They're listening to the wrong person, aren't they? Instead of listening to God, what he has to say to them. And I'm convinced that Sabbath day is special to God. The day that he set aside, you know, he said, remember the Sabbath, keep it holy. And so you've heard me say many, many times, we've taken God's day and made it our day, you know. And so sad that it might be that way. Verse 27 says, therefore, son of man, speak to the people of Israel and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. And this also your father blasphemed me by forsaking me. When I brought them into the land I had sworn to give them, and they saw any high hill or any leafy tree, there they offered their sacrifices, made offerings that provoked me to anger, presented their fragrant incense, and poured out their drink offerings. Then I said to them, what is this high place you keep going to? It's called Bama. To this day, Bama just means high place. And why did they put it in those high places where all could see what? And I don't mean any disrespect when I say what I'm saying, you know. But I have to look at the multitude, how many of them they were, the millions. And then I see this crowd as they come together to these high places to offer these sacrifices and burn this incense. He said it had a sweet smell of aroma, you know. That was supposed to carry the sins of the people before the Lord for forgiveness and all the things that they did and things. But I think about them and what they are doing here. And it's for me to comprehend that in my mind, you know, it's kind of like the Pope, you know, when he comes out on the balcony. And down below, there's what? Thousands of people down there, isn't it? And stuff. And even more so in these latter days with the death of one and the selection of another one to come in. But that's where I see those Israelites, just spread out far and wide, you know, wanted to offer that. And God said, what is this high place to y'all? What are y'all doing? Look at verse 36. 30. I think that's a zero. I can't say. Therefore, say to the house of Israel, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Will you defile yourself the way your fathers did and lust after their vile images? When you offer your gifts, the sacrifice of your sons in the fire, you continue to defile yourself with all your idols to this day. Am I to let you inquire of me, O house of Israel? Surely as I live, declares the Lord, I will not let you inquire of me. Remember these men that come, sat down before Ezekiel in the start of the chapter and said, we desire to inquire of the Lord? And the Lord told Ezekiel, well, ain't no way. Ain't no way. And that's what he's telling them here. He said, you want me to let you inquire of me, question me, put me to the test? No, I will not let you. Verse 32, you say, we want to be like the nations, like the people of the world who serve wood and stone. But you, what you have in mind will never happen. As surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, I will rule over you with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm and with outpoured wrath. I will bring you from the nations and gather you from the countries where you have been scattered. With a mighty hand and an outstretched arm and with outpoured wrath, I'll bring you into the desert of the nations, and there, face to face, I will execute judgment upon you. What's he going to do one of these days for us? He's going to gather us from all the parts of the world. No matter where we're at, what we're doing, he said, and I will judge you face to face. I will execute judgment upon you. As I judged your father in the desert, in the land of Egypt, so I will judge you, declares the sovereign Lord. I will take note of you as you pass under my rod. And I will bring you into the bond of the covenant. And I will purge you from those who revolt and rebel against me. Although I will bring them out of the land, they are something over here, if I can get over here. Almost had you. Did have you. Lost you. Got you. Living, yet they will not enter the land of Israel. Then you will know that I am the Lord. What did he say is going to happen in New Testament time? There will be many that will say unto me, Lord, Lord. He said, depart from me, I never knew you. He said, when it comes to the land of the living, they will not enter the land of Israel. The land of Israel for you and I is heaven as our home. Then you will know that I am the Lord. When they see him face to face, what they're going to know? Like Isaiah, Woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips. 39 said, as for you, O house of Israel, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Go and serve your idols, every one of you. But afterward, you will surely listen to me and no longer profane my holy name with your gifts and idols. For on my holy mountain, where's that? The high mountain of Israel, declares the sovereign Lord. There in the land, the entire house of Israel will serve me. And there I will accept them. And they don't miss what God has prepared for them, what he's trying to get them to deal with and understand in their hearts and their lives. And he said, there I will require your offerings and your choice gifts, along with all of your holy sacrifices. I'll accept your fragrant incense when I bring you up out of the nations, gather you from the countries where you have been scattered. And I'll show myself holy among you in the sight of the nations. Then you will know that I am the Lord when I bring you into the land of Israel, the land that I swore with uplifted hands to give to your fathers. There you will remember your conduct and all the actions by which you have defiled yourself. And you will loathe yourself for all the evil you have done. You will know that I am the Lord when I deal with you for my name's sake, and not according to your evil and your corrupt practices, O house of Israel, declares the sovereign Lord. Who's going to win in the end, folks? God is, isn't he? When God wins, we win, you know? And we can rest assured what he's going to do. Now, he's been talking to Judah, the northern kingdom here, with the most tribes and stuff. But he's going to close it out here with a little prophecy towards the south, and going to refer to Jerusalem and Judah, or another name for Israel, Jerusalem. And his heart and his life, he said, the word of the Lord came to me and said, son of man, set your face toward the south. Preach against the south and prophesy against the forest of the south line. Say to the southern forest, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. I am about to set fire to you, and it will consume all your trees, both green and dry. Blazing flame will not be quenched, and every face from south to north will be scorched by it. Everyone will see that I am the Lord, and that I have kindled it. It will not be quenched. What fire is he talking about? A lake of fire? Where those will be cast into? Then I said, ah, sovereign Lord, they're saying to me, isn't he just telling parables? Ezekiel often spoke in parables. He heard what God had to say to him, and he tried to translate that to the children of Israel in such a manner that they would know that the Lord is God. And he used the parables or the metaphor, like he did in the beginning of the first chapter tonight, talking about the lioness and her two cubs, and on down the line with other things that he used to illustrate these things with, and what is going to transpire and take place in these individuals' hearts and lives. Any question about this? Son of man, That's what the Lord, when he's telling Ezekiel, what's he going to say about us? You know? Son of man?
I bet they didn't think they were going to hear word for word year after year.
Yeah.
You know, they were coming with like, okay, what's the good plan now?
Yeah.
Y'all still don't get it.
Still ain't picked up the first go around, eh? What did they say at the end? Oh, he's just telling parables again. He's just full of stories, you know. He wants you to, you know. And that's the way a lot of people are about the Word of God. You know, they hear a sermon preached, whatever. That's right. And they want no part of it. I just got a little glimpse of it, but over the weekend, I guess it was, the president was speaking at the graduation of Wake Forest or one of them big schools somewhere, and he gave God the credit for him being in the White House today. He said, I believe I'm right where God put me, you know. And how long has it been since you heard a president say or do anything? Absolutely. Anything you want to share? Well, for goodness sakes, we want to remember Michael. And let's take a moment and join hands. Lift him up. Because he's dependent on us to pray for him and his heart and his life.